Hola.
I might go get out the front row. I'm gonna go that far.
About the hallway.
Hello, anybody there? Say I may have been disconnected, so I'm going to hang up and try again.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning, good afternoon again.
Okay.
Please join me in saying the Annabelle call. Annabelle Kedulachimincha. Yud Kaf Shin. Bar Hem Zacharim Rahame Sikadha Tamid Gamlen Betet Resh Sarita Kimo Hasin Kadosh Biro Tuha Nael Adaka Petrupet Tetulayan Yahid Gea Lamcha Pane Zokre Kedushata Yud Gimelamed Pe Zayim Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushmatriakatenu Yodea Talumot Shin Kufav Tzadiyuta. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We will now connect to the separating between the right column and the left column energies of this creation, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rachum V'chanun, Erech Apayim, V'rav Chesed V'emet, Notze Chesed La'alapim, Notze Ahon Wafesha, V'chata'a V'nake. We will now connect to the Zohar, the Sulam commentary on the Zohar. We are using Parashat Yitro, the Pasuk 29, to connect to the energy of certainty. We will start with a L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud Kudsha Barichu Ishkinte Bitzilu Urchimu Tchilu Tchilu Urchimu Le'akta L'shem Yud He Bavav He B'Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah, Lasok Torah Mitzvah, Vayhino Amadonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kananeh Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kananehu. Pasuk 29. Rabbi Abba Amar Bekama Atar Tane Nan Dekudsha Berichu Koma De'aved Le'ela witata kolaihu kishot liovada dikshot le'elach mila bialma divae barnash v'dach yaleya minea ulam haga te'ya kalana dehakuru ovada Big shout inun with collides the reef. Be alma. The energy of this current year, 5779, is to become wise. There are three verses that connect to this energy in the Tanakh. In all three of these verses, the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Tet, is concealed. The concealment is by separating the letters of the name of the year by two letters each. The first verse that we study is Leviticus chapter 26, verse 18. Ve'imadele lo tishbe'u li v'yasafti li'asra etchem sheva al chatotechem. The second verse that we study is from Isaiah. Chapter 36, verse 6. Hine vatachta amishene hakane haratsu tzaze Mitzrayim Masher Yisamech Yishalav Uva Vekapo Unkava Ken Paro Melech Mitzrayim Lekol Habosim Malav. The third verse is from the prophet Micha. It's chapter 6, verse 13. Legam ani hecheleiti hakotecha hashmeim al chatotecha. There is a fourth verse that we study from the prophet Isaiah. It is chapter 40 and verse 20. This verse starts with the letter He and ends with the letter Tet. And this, according to the Kabbalist, is an indication of the same energy as the name of the year that starts with the letter He and ends with the letter Tet, which is the name, the year, 5779. Here's the verse. Cham sukan teruma eitz lo yirkav yivhar harash acham yivakesh lo v'hakin pesel lo yimot. This is one of 13 verses that start with a hey and end with a tet. It being the third of the 13 verses, it connects to the month of Kislev, our current month. There is a fifth verse that connects to the energy of the year. It's from Job. It's chapter 41, verse 22. This verse starts with the letter tav and ends with the letter tet. Here is the verse. Tav tav hadudei charesh yir pad charutz alayti. The energy of the year 5778 is to bow to Hashem in order to walk with Hashem. There are two verses that connect to this energy. The first that we study is from 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 6. Vayishkav Amnon, Vayichal, Vayago, Hamelech Liroto, Vayomer Amnon, El Hamelech Tavo, Natamar, Achoti Utlabev, Ve'ene Shete Levivot, Ve'evre Miyada. The second verse comes from Psalms. It's chapter 32, verse 6. Concealed in this verse is the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Chet. The letters of this verse, of this name, are separated by three letters each. Chatati odiacha, wawoni lo kisiti, amarti ode ale peshai. Ladonai Yohe Wahe Weata Nasata Awon Fatati Sela. The year 5777 is known as the year of the wake-up, as well as the year of the goat. There are two verses that connect to this energy as well in the Tanakh. The first that we study is Lamentations chapter 3, verse 52. Tzod saduni katzipor oyevai chinam. When we take the first letters of these words, we're able to permute them into Tzatzki Ach, which translates as appear like brothers. When we take the final letters, we are able to create Dir Yam, which translates as a sea of tenants. The second verse is from Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. Concealed in this verse is the name of the year, Tashin Ayin Zion. This name is separated by seven letters each. Ki in Vadonai Yohewahe Elohechem Tadevaku Kasher Asitem Ad Hayom Hazeh. The year 5776 has the energy of the pause that refreshes. There are two verses that connect to this energy in the Tanakh as well. The first is from 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Raka kohanim ha yulimat velo yachlu lehashit et kol haolot vayahaskum. Achechem ha-levi'im ad kelot ha-mlacha v'yad yitkachu ha-kohanim ki ha-levi'im yishrei leval lehitkadesh me-ha-kohanim. When we take the first letters of these 25 words, we're able to permute them into eight names of God. Here are the names. Adonai Yohewahe, Lalahe, Wawawa, Yolayo, Alame, Hey, 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 Ata'a, Rekaha. The second verse that we study connecting to the pause is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bihu Vadonai Yohewahe Adead Kibia Yohe Adonai Yohewahe Sur Olami. The year 5775 has the energy of swallowing death forever. There are three verses in the Tanakh that connect to this energy. The first is from Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo tishen imeni lo tarpeni yad bili ruki. Next, we study 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru udu mikol hamachavoyiyam asher yitchabei shayim sham ushavtem elai el nafo v'halakti yitchem v'chayayim yeshnu v'aretz v'chipasti. And the third verse is also from Job. It's chapter 20, verse 7. Tegelo lanetzah yoved ro'av yom ru'ayo. The year 5774 has the energy of peace in the Middle East. There is one verse in all of the Tanakh that has this energy. It's 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. V'samti makom le'ami Israel, Untati Vishakam, Kata Vilo Yirgaz, Od Vilo Yosifu, Vene Avla La Anoto, Kaasher Barishona. We will now connect to the 72 names of God utilizing the tool of saying the letter with its root vowel out loud in sequence. Wahe wayo layo sayote alame mehe shi la lahe aka aka heta. Hezayo alada la awa he hea yozala me behe he reyo he kome ba awa kalayo la wawa pe he la nula ha yo 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 me la he 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 wa nuta he he a a yo re ta shi a he re yo yo a wa me la ka be wa shi re yo he wa la he he ta wa ko me nu da anu yo he a me re he a yo yo za he 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 me yo ha wa wa la yo la he sa a la a re yo a shi la me yo he wa he wa da nu yo he he shi a me me nu nu a nu yo ta me be he pe wa yo nu me me yo yo la he re he me tsa re wa me be yo he he a nu wa me he yo na me be me nu ko a yo a he be wa hey, hey, yo, be, may, hey, yo, yo, may, wa, may. We will now connect to the 72 names that were revealed by the Tzaddikim using the same method, same tool. Wa, 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 yo, 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 sa, be, te, a, me, me, be, shi, la, yo, hey, anu, a, ka, me, da. Hey hey yo anu da la hey wa hey me ya yo ta la me re hey wa hey yo yo hey me me wa 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 ka be yo la yo wa pe nu la nu me sa yo hey yo me nu hey 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 wa nu yo hey hey shi ya yo re ta shi ya hey. Re la yo a wa me la yo be wa pe re yo yo wa la he he ka a ko me nu da anu yo he a wa me re he a yo he za he shi he me ka ha wa wa la yo yo he za a la a re yo a la me ka he. Wa he wa da la yo he yo shi a la me nu he a nu wa ta me la he pe a yo nu ko me yo re la he be he me ta re wa he be yo a he a la wa me za yo za he be me ka ko a la a he he wa re la he yo yo me hey la yo me hey me. The Tzaddikim who left this day, the 17th day of Kislev, Rabbi Avraham, the son of the Rambam. He wrote a sefer that covers many aspects of the Kabbalah and the tools of meditation and basically a lot of mystical aspects of Judaism. He wrote it in the language of Arabic, and it has been translated in the last 20 years. It's well worth reading in the English and I highly recommend it. Rabbi Noach of Ludmir, Rabbi Yosef Yotzel Horowitz, Rabbi Chaim Taub of Tunisia, Rabbi Shlomo Hyman, Rabbi Abraham Yochanan Blumenthal, and the Tzaddikim that we will leave tonight at sundown, the 18th day of Kislev, Rabbi Eliezer Zev ben Rabbi Yitzhak Rosenbaum of Rachov, Rabbi Abraham Chassid, Rabbi Shlomo Tanji of Morocco, the Admor Yosef Yitzhak from Avrutz, Rabbi Aryeh Lev Darshan of Posen, Rabbi Baruch of Medsibiz, Rabbi Yekuziel Shmelke of Sasov, Rabbi Yosef Yitzhak of Overich, Rabbi Mordechai Alishberg of Boise, Rabbi Chaim Tzvi Ehrenreich, Rabbi Tzvi Menachem Teller, Rabbi Levi Yitzhak Horowitz. We will now say the first two verses of the Shema Yisrael, one out loud and one in a whisper, followed by the abridged Kaddish. Please close your eyes and lean slightly to the left. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. The abridged Kaddish. It kadav, it kadash, me rabbah. And we all say Amen. The Almighty Rakute, the Amlich Malchute, the Chayef Honu, the Omech Honu, the Chayef, the Kol Beit Yisrael. The Agalal Vizman Kariv. It Barach Vishtabach Vipar Vip Romam Vip Nase. It Adar Vitale Vitalal Shmedikutsha. The Elamin Kal Birkata. The Shirata Tushbechata. The Nehemata da Amiran, the Alma, Yeheshlama Rabba Min Shamaya, the Chaim Aleinu, the Alko Yisrael, the Imru Amen. O Se Shalom Bim Romal, Hu Yase Shalom. Aleinu y'al kol Yisrael, ve'imru amen. Our class today can be found on the unique astrological times link. It's continuing our classes preparing for Hanukkah, which will start next Sunday night, not tonight, a week from tonight. This is where we left off last week in this handout, and what we're going to be paraphrasing and reading the Midrash about Chana and her seven sons. This is not a true story, but it relates to the holiday of Hanukkah very clearly. 7 times no, 1,000 times no. According to the Gemara in the volume of Gittin, the king asked each son to bow down to an idol. Each son, starting from the oldest to eventually the youngest, refused, each quoting a different passage from the Torah. The first son, the eldest son, quoted the first mitzvah, the first Esser Dibrot. He asked a question, how can I bow down, he asked, when it says in the Torah that Hashem is the Lord our God. The second son stated the mitzvah, you shall have no other gods beside me. The third son said, how can I, whoever sacrifices to a foreign god, will be wiped out of the children of Israel? The fourth son, you shall not bow down to other gods. The fifth son quoted the Shema, hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. The sixth son explained, you shall teach today your heart that Hashem is the only God in the heavens and the earth, and there is no other. Finally, the merciless king turned to the seventh and youngest son, who quoted the longest passage. We have sworn to Hashem not to change him for any other God, and Hashem has sworn to us not to exchange us for any other people. The king was taken aback. This boy was the youngest, yet the most clever, and also willing to give his life. Nonetheless, the king tried to deceive him. I'll throw my ring down, he said, and so people won't ridicule me. It will look like you're bowing down. But really, you'll only be picking up the ring. No luck, Antiochus, the brave lad said, if your honor as a human being of flesh and blood is so important, then how much more so is the honor of Hashem, the king? We have historical sources for the holiday of Hanukkah, in addition to the rabbis declaring it. And we will read them and discuss them now. The story of Hanukkah, along with its laws and customs, is entirely missing in the Mishnah, apart from several passing references. Rav Nissen the Gaon postulates in his Hakdamah L'Mafteach HaTalmud that information on the holiday was so commonplace that the Mishnah felt no need to explain it. A modern-day scholar, Reuven Margolis, suggests that as the Mishnah was redacted after the Bar Kokhba revolt, its editors were reluctant to include explicit discussions of a holiday celebrating another relatively recent revolt against a foreign ruler, for fear of antagonizing the Romans. Around 1900, there was an excavation, an archaeological dig, near Jerusalem. Now, the story of Hanukkah is preserved in the books of the first and second Maccabees. These books are not part of the Tanakh. They are Jewish apocryphal books, meaning they're books that were available, yet at the time of the coding of the Tanakh, the books of the Maccabees were available, but by choice, the sages did not include them. And it's an interesting question as to why they did not. Because essentially, every verse that is included in the Tanakh speaks to every generation and speaks to every person in every generation. So the question is, in what way would the books of the Maccabees not be applicable to every person in every generation, especially since the rabbis had declared that the holiday of Hanukkah to be a holiday. And some even indicate it'll be a holiday after the Mashiach. Continuing to read, the miracle of the one-day supply of oil, miraculously lasting 8 days, is first described in the Talmud about 600 years after the events described in the books of the Maccabees. And I am adding that this implies that the oil did not last 8 days, but this technique of promoting the miracle was used to promote the idea of a small group defeating a larger group. The Maccabees and their army, which was small relative to the Roman army, defeated the Greek army. The Gemara in Tractate Shabbat focuses on Shabbat candles and moves to Hanukkah candles and says that after the forces of Antiochus IV had been driven from the temple, the Maccabees discovered that almost all of the ritual olive oil had been profaned. They found only a single container that was still sealed by the high priest, with enough oil to keep the menorah in the temple lit for a single day. They used this, yet it burned for 8 days, the time it took to have new oil pressed and made ready. This is written in the Gemara, as we said, 600 years after the events of the rededication of the temple. The Talmud presents three options to us. The law requires only one light each night per household. A better practice is to light one light each night for each member of the household. The most preferred practice is to vary the number of lights each day. And I am adding that this is so people will ask, why is there a difference in the number of lights? And this gives us an opportunity to publicize the miracles, whatever they were. In Sephardic families, the head of the household lights the candles, while in Ashkenazi families, each family member lights their own Hanukkah. Except in times of danger, the lights were to be placed outside one's door, on the opposite side of the mezuzah, or in the window, closest to the street. Rashi, in a note to the Talmud on the book of Shabbat, says the purpose is to publicize the miracle. The blessings for Hanukkah lights are discussed in Tractate Sukkah. So you see that all of the teachings about Hanukkah are not in one place in the Talmud. I am adding, some rabbis promote making a public spectacle for the purpose of publicizing the miracle. In areas where this is not a lot of foot traffic, it may seem that lighting outside makes no sense. Yet we must realize that Hashem controls who walks along the street and who is motivated to ask questions. There is a history book, the narrative of Josephus. The ancient Jewish historian Flavius Josephus, who was a Jewish man, but who converted and became the historian that most Jewish people follow, most Christians follow, he recorded the history of the Jewish wars in a book. He recorded the history of the events of his time. In the the book of the Jewish wars, Jewish Antiquities, how the victorious Judah Maccabeus ordered lavish yearly 8-day festivities after rededicating the temple in Jerusalem that had been profaned by Antiochus IV. Josephus does not say the festival was called Hanukkah, but rather the Festival of Lights. And that becomes very important for us to understand. Now, Judah celebrated the festival of the restoration of the sacrifices of the temple for 8 days and omitted no sort of pleasures therein or thereon. But he feasted them upon every rich and splendid sacrifices. And he honored God and delighted them by hymns and psalms. Nay, they were so very glad at the revival of their customs when, after a long time of intermission, they unexpectedly had regained the freedom of their worship that they made it a law for their posterity that they should keep a festival on account of the restoration of their temple worship for 8 days. And from that time to this, we celebrate this festival and call it Lights, the Festival of Lights. I suppose the reason was because this liberty beyond our hopes appeared to us, and that thence was the name given to that festival. Judas also rebuilt the walls around the city of Jerusalem and reared towers of great height against the incursions of enemies and set guards therein. He also fortified the city, Bethsura, that it might serve as a citadel against any distresses that might come from the enemies. There are other ancient sources that we depend upon. The story of Hanukkah is alluded to in the book of Maccabees, that both books, there are two of them. The 8-day rededication of the temple is described in Maccabees 1. Though the name of the festival and the miracle of the lights do not appear here. A similar story in character and obviously older in date is one alluded to in the second Maccabee, according to which the relighting of the altar fire by Nehemiah was due to a miracle which occurred on the 25th day of Kislev, and which appears to be given as the reason for the selection of the same date for the rededication of the altar by Judah Maccabee. Another source is the Scroll of Antiochus. This work, also known as Megillat HaHasmonaim, Megillat Hanukkah, or Megillat Yevanit, is in both Aramaic and Hebrew. The Hebrew version is a literal translation from the Aramaic original. Recent scholarship dates it to somewhere between the 2nd and 5th centuries, probably in the 2nd century, with the Hebrew dating to the 7th century. It was published for the first time in Mantua in 1557 at the beginning of the printing revolution. The Sadia Gaon, who translated it into Arabic in the 9th century, ascribed it to the Maccabees. Disputed by some, since it gives dates as so many years before the destruction of the Second Temple in 70 of the Common Era. But that discrepancy can be explained with an understanding that in modern times that the Hebrew calendar is approximately 170 years out, inconsistent. The Christian Greek scriptures refer to the man from Nazareth being at the Jerusalem temple during the Feast of Dedication, and it was winter. The Greek term used is the renewals. Josephus refers to the festival as lights. So the holiday of Hanukkah. The background. Judea was part of the Ptolemaic Kingdom of Egypt until 200 BCE, when King Antiochus III, the Great of Syria, defeated King Ptolemy of Egypt at the Battle of Panium. Judea became at that moment part of the Seleucid Empire of Syria. King Antiochus III, the Great, wanting to conciliate his new Jewish subjects, guaranteed their right to live according to their ancestral customs and to continue to practice their religion in the Temple of Jerusalem. However, in 175 BCE, before the Common Era, Antiochus IV, the son of Antiochus III, invaded Judea, ostensibly at the request of the sons of Tobias. The Tobiads, which led the Hellenizing Jewish faction in Jerusalem, were expelled to Syria around 170, when the high priest Onias and his pro-Egyptian faction wrested control from them. The exiled Tobiads lobbied Antiochus to recapture Jerusalem, as the ancient Jewish historian Flavius Joseph tells us, and I'm quoting, "The king, being thereto disposed beforehand, complied with them, and came upon the Jews with a great army, and took their city by force, and slew a great multitude of those that favored Ptolemy, and sent out his soldiers to plunder them without mercy. He also spoiled the temple and put a stop to the constant practice of offering a daily sacrifice of expiation for 3 years and 6 months." The traditional view: when the Second Temple in Jerusalem was looted and the services stopped, Judaism was outlawed in 167 before the Common Era. Antiochus ordered an altar to Zeus erected in the temple. He banned the Brit Milah, the circumcision, and ordered pigs to be sacrificed at the altar of the temple. The sacrifice of pigs to the Greek gods was standard ritual practice in the ancient Greek religion. Antiochus' actions provoked a large-scale revolt. Mattathiah, a Jewish priest, and his 5 sons Yochanan, Shimon, Eliezer, Jonathan, and Judah led a rebellion against Antiochus. Judah became known as Yehuda HaMaccabi, Judah the Hammer. By 166 BCE, Mattathias had died, and Judah took his place as a leader. By 165 BCE, the Jewish revolt against the seven-seed monarchy was successful. The temple was liberated and rededicated. The festival of Hanukkah was instituted to celebrate this event. Judah ordered the temple to be cleansed, a new altar to be built in place of the polluted one, and new holy vessels to be made. Now, I'm just going to point out some things to you right now in an unwritten commentary. Since Judah at this point had become both the high priest and the king, which is not the normal practice according to the Torah, which had been given already, the question is, why would he decide to rededicate the temple rather than tear it down? Because we know there is a spiritual law that there is no disappearance in spirituality. So therefore, a sacrifice of a pig, perhaps it can be cleansed, perhaps it can't. Why take the chance of something as important as the temple? Why not rebuild it? And the question then becomes one of, was it a political decision? An economic decision? They didn't have the funds to do so. He wanted to save the funds. What was his motivation for rededicating rather than rebuilding? And there's conversation in the Talmud about what the technique of rededication is for. The same thing occurred when the Kabbalah Center bought a building in Los Angeles. That building was a Korean church prior to its purchase by the Kabbalah Center. They rededicated the church. They didn't tear it down and rebuild it. Their motivation was economic. They didn't discuss that with the people that they were teaching. But the result was they had a background, they had the rededication of the temple, and it is common practice to utilize church buildings around the world and Muslim mosques around the world when a Jewish group reaches a size that they want to build their own temple. They rededicate the use of the building to be appropriate for a synagogue. Continuing to read. I'm scrolling a little bit, not too far. According to the Talmud, unadulterated, undefiled, pure olive oil with the seal of the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, was needed for the menorah in the temple, which was required to burn throughout the night, every night. The story goes that one flask was found with only enough oil to burn for one day, yet it burned for 8 days. actually, the menorah in the temple is lit in the morning and in the evening twice a day. That's why we say the Ketoret twice a day in our prayers. So the story is told that one flask was found with only enough oil to burn for one day. Yet these flasks were essentially burning for 12 hours, maybe 13 hours if we consider that they also observed the daylight savings time program. So each flask had enough oil to burn actually for 12, 13 hours. And yet it burned for 8 days, as the story goes. That is a miracle. But it's actually only a miracle of 7.5 days. And that's a question that needs to be asked when you study and you think about, when you contemplate the holiday of Hanukkah, when you're watching the candles, as to why we celebrate 8 days rather than a half a day or a day and a half. But these flasks that are prepared by the high priest represent the first 6 drops that flow from an olive that has been pressed for its oil. The olive has been squeezed, but only the first 6 drops that come out of each olive is available to be in those flasks that the high priest certified. And that's the amount of oil that it will burn for about 12 hours. At least this is my understanding. The version of the story in the first Maccabees book states that an 8-day celebration of songs and sacrifices was proclaimed upon the rededication of the altar and makes no mention of the miracle of the oil. A number of historians believe that the reason for the 8-day celebration was that the first Hanukkah was a belated celebration of Sukkot and Shmini Atzeret for that year because the temple wasn't available. During the war, the Jews were not able to celebrate these festivals when the lamps were supposed to be lit in the temple. Modern scholars argue that the king was intervening in an internal civil war between the traditional Jews called the Pharisees and the Hellenized Jews called the Sadducees in Jerusalem. This whole idea gets into a discussion, which we don't have time for today, of what is the Sadducees, what is the Pharisees, and how do they relate. One of my teachers describes them as political parties. They each had their point of view. One wanted to ask the Romans to defeat the Greeks. One did not. And that was their disagreement. They wanted to be free of the Greeks, or they wanted to accept that this was Hashem's ordained will, that the Greeks take over Jerusalem for this period. We are out of time, so to speak. Without going into the halakha of how to light the candles, I am going to mention the following fact. We only have in our programs, the way I teach, next Sunday before the lighting of the candles, which will take place Sunday night. Next Sunday, I will teach a meditation for the lighting of the candles. There are on the website, in the same place where this handout is, a candle lighting meditation that has been there for a few years that we've gone over, but I highly recommend it be reviewed because it is a very powerful and significant meditation. And then there is a new meditation that I just put on the website yesterday. I will be teaching one of these next Sunday. If you'll notice, there's like three different classes to teach the Nair meditation, the one that's been there for a while. That meditation may be taught during the Hanukkah holiday itself. I haven't really decided. I haven't gotten the message yet as what is appropriate. So I'm suggesting you read both of the meditations to prepare for Hanukkah on your own. Our class is over. There is more to read on this handout, and I highly recommend you do that as well as part of your personal preparation. Remember, this is the year to become wise, and lighting connects candles, Nair, connect to the idea of wisdom, of Chokhmah. Does anyone have any questions? We will have a class at 3 o'clock West Coast time, continuing our preparation our study of the advanced reincarnation. I bid you all a good week, Shavuot Tov, Shalom Gadol, much peace and serenity in your life. Shalom to all, Shalom Gadol.
Shalom, Shalom.